The ridge north of Nehru's house must be related to the essences. This is Legendary Adventures, a Legend of Zelda playthrough podcast. This week in Oracle of Ages, we head up Rolling Ridge to help the Gorons in the past and the present in order to reach the Crown Dungeon. But first, we'll make a trade and give out some important parenting advice. To reach Nehru's house, we must travel through Linna City. In the city, there's a comedian who stands near the river bridge and tells jokes. He notices the cheesy mustache that Link got from the man in Symmetry City and wants it for himself. He exchanges it for a funny joke. He says it's the funniest gag he knows. It's represented by a bow. Honestly, this trade seems like a stretch. We're not even getting an object, though there is one associated with it. We take the joke all the same. Will it be a big hit? Because I was in the city, I stopped by Blossom and Bippin's home. Blossom tells us that her baby, which we name Stem, never sleeps. She asks Link how to get him to sleep. We're given two options on what to say, sing or play. I pick sing. Blossom decides to try it. Good thing a non-parent like Link has such good advice. Rolling Ridge sits north of Nehru's house, which is in the Forest of Time east of Linna City. In the present, players will find the ridge inaccessible. There's simply no way up. There is a time portal next to Nehru's house. We play the Song of Echoes. After traveling to the past, we find that the base of Rolling Ridge doesn't sit as high as it does in the present. There are a number of holes blocking the path, but we can cross them with the switch hook. Just on the other side of the holes, we find a cave. Inside is the Goron village, which features a familiar musical theme. As soon as we walk in, it's clear that there is trouble. A pair of Gorons stand and punch a large pile of rocks trying to break it. They explain their elder is trapped under the fallen rocks. They say if he is not rescued soon, he will die. We're told a bomb flower would be just the thing to clear the rocks. Not only is the elder trapped under the rocks, but they also prevent us from traveling further into the city. Outside, we use the Song of Currents to travel to the present. In the present, the rockfall has long been cleared, but there is still trouble in Goron Village. We're told Great Moblin built a castle on top of the ridge, blocking access to the Goron's bomb flower crop. Turns out, in the past, a kid who looked a lot like Link gave the Goron bomb flowers, and they still grow them in the present. What a coincidence! Or is that paradox? We know we need to get those flowers, we just aren't able to get them yet. We're told that we need to move fast in order to get into Great Moblin's castle. If we try to get in, it's not hard to see why. We enter a room with a spiraling pathway. The floor falls away, sending us into a basement level that leads back outside. The Goron who gives us the hint about being able to move fast tells us that long ago, Rolling Ridge was home to a tree with seeds that made you move fast. We can find a portal to the past on top of the ridge, right near a great fairy's fountain to the right. On a raised area to the left, we find a mystical seed tree with Pegasus seeds. This replaces the Pegasus boots seen in past games. If we use the seed satchel and place a seed at Link's feet, he will temporarily move at a higher speed. Returning to the present, we enter Great Moblin's castle. It could be considered a mini dungeon, but there's really only a few rooms. We cross the first room with the Pegasus seed. The second room offers a brief breather before heading into the third and final room, and the boss fight against Great Moblin. Great Moblin stands on a raised area in the center of the room and throws large bombs down to the lower area. The large bombs are slow to explode. There are also two smaller moblins on even higher platforms which throw smaller bombs, which explode quickly. We need to pick up the large bomb and throw it back to Great Moblin. It has such a long fuse that it's possible for him to throw the bomb back again, so it's a good idea to wait and to throw the bomb just as it's about to explode. After taking a number of hits, Great Moblin's entire stocks of bomb flowers explodes, destroying his castle. He flees and is never seen again within this game. As a thank you, the Gorons give us the bomb flowers and encourage us to be like the boy who saved the Goron Elder long ago. The Maku tree seems confused by this. She contacts Link and really spells it out. Link appears in Goron history. What could this all mean? I was able to put two and two together long before the Maku tree contacted me, and I imagine other players were able to as well. We travel back to the pass and give bomb flowers to the Gorons trying to free the Elder. They blow the rocks away, revealing the Elder, and he doesn't have a scratch on him. He even laughs off the concerns of the other Gorons, saying that he wasn't hurt at all. The Elder gives us a key that he found, saying he doesn't know what it goes to. The exchange of the bomb flowers is a causal loop paradox similar to the one that we saw in Ocarina of Time when we got the Song of Storms. In that game, Link learns the Song of Storms from the Man in the Windmill and then teaches the Man in the Windmill that song. So where does it begin? Is it the chicken or the egg? Here, Link gets bomb flowers from the Gorons and then gives bomb flowers to the Gorons, who promise to continue to grow them into the future. So who really got bomb flowers from who? We travel to the present and use Pegasus seeds and Rock's feather to move through a cave that was hidden by Great Moblin's castle. On the other side of the cave, we find a locked door. When we use the key, a crown design is revealed on the wall, and through the door, we find the Crown Dungeon. The music is a moody piece with notes in the mid-range. It has sort of a descending melody anchored by a higher pedal point. After repeating a couple of times, we hear an alternate melody line with three staccato notes ending in a descending line. The Crown Dungeon, like the majority of dungeons in the game, is split between two floors, a ground floor and a basement level. The top floor is shaped like a crown. There are three empty spaces in the headband section of the crown representing jewels. There are three points on top, and the center point is the largest and cross-shaped. The lower floor is circular, and there's a line of two rooms across the lower section of the circle. I'm not really sure what to make of this lower level. If it's supposed to be a head, is that line a mustache? It seems a little too small to wear a crown, if that's the case. What is this a picture of? I do not know. This dungeon introduces crystal switches and red and blue barriers into Oracle of Ages. I don't think this introduction's as smooth and as clever as the one in Link's Awakening, but it works. There is a switch in the second room from the entrance. If we want, we can try out the crystal switch and see how it raises and lowers barriers. I personally already knew what it did, and I just ignored it and went left. In the left crown point, I went down a set of stairs to the basement level. And after a couple of rooms, I went back up to find a key under the left jewel space. To get this key, we need to bounce a seed off of three statues in a rough triangle shape to reveal the chest. It's a clever puzzle. On the way back, we can lower blue barriers to get a second key on the basement level. From here, we head to the right side of the dungeon and never return to the left. In the room above the center jewel, we can go down a staircase to the basement. Here we'll go down another staircase through a side-scrolling room to reach a room that's completely dark except for a platform in the middle with a chest. The idea is to follow an invisible path through the room to reach the chest. I just used the switch hook on a moblin near the chest and scored a key. On the right side of the crown, under the right jewel, we find the boss door and a chest with a map in it. We have to have the blue barrier lowered in order to get the map. With the barrier down, we can also go through a locked door and enter a room below the center jewel. We take a set of stairs to a lower level, where we can light torches with the seed shooter and solve a puzzle involving arranging colored statues to get the dungeon item, the Cane of Samaria. The Cane of Samaria returns from A Link to the Past. It makes blocks. In A Link to the Past, the blocks could be destroyed to perform an attack. And the cane could be used to make platforms using question mark spaces and tracks in the Turtle Rock dungeon. In this game, it's strictly limited to making blocks. With the dungeon item, we can head up to the right point of the crown and take on the mini-boss, Smasher. It's a returning mini-boss from Link's Awakening. It's a stingray-like enemy which picks up and throws a large steel ball. We avoid getting hit, then pick up the ball and throw it back at Smasher to deal damage. There's a twist with this fight. The steel ball will reset to a fixed location if a throw is missed, adding just a little extra challenge over Link's Awakening. In the right point of the crown, we get the compass. and we head off on a path that will take us through the lower levels of the dungeon and through the center cross-shaped point in order to reach the boss key. We pass through a couple of side-scrolling areas along the way. The boss key is found on the upper left side of the lower level. It's found in a room with 8 colorful statues. We had to reveal the chest by pushing the statues so they surround an owl statue, but the statues of light color are linked together and will move together unless blocked. There was a similar puzzle involving 2 statues earlier in the dungeon. In both cases, the solution is to use blocks from the Cane of Samaria to create barriers which prevent the linked statue from moving while the other statue is pushed into place. This is a moment where the size of the dungeon rooms makes things slightly awkward. After pushing statues in place, we hear the secret jingle, but we don't actually see the secret that was just revealed. It's a chest that is revealed just off-screen. It's not too bad, but it is an example of how these large dungeon rooms do affect the gameplay just a bit. We return to the first floor and head below the right jewel to pass through the boss door and face the boss. The boss here is called Smog. It's a creature made of a cloud-like substance and is a true puzzle boss. An arrangement of blocks appears in the room, and Smog splits into smaller versions of itself, which cling to those blocks and move around them, similar to the spark enemies seen in dungeons. We have to use the blocks and the Cane of Samaria to get the smaller pieces of Smog to reunite, then land hits with the sword. I took a fair amount of damage during this fight, but in the end I was not as close to dying as I was with other bosses. When Smog falls, we can collect a heart container and the essence. It's the Sacred Soil. We're told all that lies sleeping in the bosom of the earth will know the nourishing warmth of the sacred soil. The Maku tree tells us that she still hears an essence echoing near Rolling Ridge. Soon after, a Goron appears directing us where to go. We'll explore the other side of the ridge next week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't already and you want to follow along, please subscribe. And a big thank you to everyone who has already subscribed. You are awesome. I'm Paul Riley, and I will see you next week.